Sports Week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. It was a busy weekend of action as teams across the continent continued their quest to qualify for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. Joining us now with a roundup of the Nations Cup qualifiers is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. The brave warriors of Namibia suffered a 2-0 defeat to Guinea in the 2021 African Cup of Nations qualifier Group A match played in Conakry. Isiaga Sila scored on the 41st minute to give Guinea the lead, before Jose Kante sealed the lead in the 70th minute. Guinea are now on top of Group A, followed by the Eagles of Mali, who still remain unbeaten after picking a clinical 2-0 victory away to Chad to move to 4 points after two games. Goals from Emmanuel Okwi and Fahad Bayo enough to seal the win, as the Uganda Cranes picked up their first AFCON 2021 Group B win after defeating Malawi 2-0 at Mandela National Stadium in Nambole. Burkina Faso's experienced forward Aristide Banche also netted twice as the Stallions beat South Sudan 2-1 in Group B. The Bafana Bafana of South Africa got their 2021 African Cup of Nations qualifying campaign back on track with a 1-0 win over Sudan in a match that was played at the Olande Stadium.
Prince, turning to Group D in AFCON 2021 qualifying, I see where the Panthers of Gabon pounced on the visiting Palancas Negras of Angola.
Right on, Sunny. Aaron Bupenza and Dennis Bwanga's first half goals were all Gabon needed to beat Angola 2-1 and move top of Group D. A poor start by Bosnian Vahid Halilhodžić as coach of Morocco continued when lower-ranked Mauritania forced a 0-0 draw in their first Group E match played in Rabat. Morocco are currently ranked 42nd in the world, 63 places above Mauritania, and the Bahrain deadlock left Halilhodžić with only one win from 5 matches since succeeding Havrinad. Central African Republic, who have never qualified for the Cup of Nations, topped the table after a 2-0 home win over the Swallows of Burundi, while the 2021 host, the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon, were 1-0 winners over Rwanda in Group F, with Ngomo Ngamaleu scoring the only goal. The Warriors of Zimbabwe drew 0-0 at home against Botswana, while the Desert Foxes of Algeria beat Chipolopolo of Zambia 5-0 at home in Blida to lead Group H on 3 points.
Prince, turning to Group I, 2019 Nations Cup runners-up Senegal is off to a very good start with 2 wins in 2 matches.
That's right, Sunny. Famara Didi scored a hat-trick in a game interrupted by heavy rain. As the Teranga Lions hammered Eswatini 4-1. Badou Ndiaye scored Senegal's 4th in Manzini against the kingdom formerly known as Swaziland. Congo-Brazzaville are 2nd in Group I, 3 points adrift of Senegal after 3-0 win over Guinea-Bissau. Saif Edin Kawi and Wahmi Hazri each scored twice as the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia beat Libya 4-1 to go top of Group J, while Taifa Stars of Tanzania stunned Equatorial Guinea 2-1. The Elephants of Ivory Coast beat Niger 1-0 in Abidjan, thanks to a second-half penalty from AC Milan's Frank Kessie, while the Barea of Madagascar beat Ethiopia 1-0 in Antananarivo to get their 2021 Nations Cup qualifying campaign off to a solid start. In Group L, the Super Eagles of Nigeria benefited from an outstanding performance by Lille forward Victor Osimhen in a 4-2 win over the Crocodiles of Lesotho, Osimhen scored twice and set up the other two, as Nigeria again came from behind to win like it did in its opening qualifier.
Prince, taking a look at the AFCON 2021 qualifying schedule, I see there are more fixtures on Monday and Tuesday.
Yes, Sonny, the Black Stars of Ghana scheduled to play Sao Tome and Principe today, while Gambia will host the Leopards of Democratic Republic of Congo in another Group D encounter match scheduled to take place at the Independence Stadium in Bakau. The Atlas Lions of Morocco will also be away to bottom Group E side Burundi in Bujumbura, as the Blue Sharks of Cape Verde takes on the OS Mambas of Mozambique. The Pharaohs of Egypt will also aim to bounce back after a poor start, as they take on Comoros, who secured an away victory over Togo, thanks to a goal from the nation's biggest star, Faiz Selemani. The Sparrowhawks of Togo also set to play against the Harambee Stars of Kenya, who earned a 1-1 draw against Egypt in their first match in Alexandria. I'm Prince Nestor, on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now let's go to Cairo, where Egypt will host South Africa and Ivory Coast will go against Ghana in Tuesday's semifinal matches at the Africa Under 23 Cup of Nations football tournament. The winners on Tuesday will qualify for the 2020 Olympic men's football tournament in Japan. And the losers will still have a shot at making it to the Olympics. They'll play in the third-place match on Friday in Cairo, and the winner will qualify for the Olympics. In the group phase, Egypt topped Group A with the maximum 9 points from 3 wins. Ghana and Cameroon both had 4 points, but Ghana had better goal difference and went through to the semifinals. Mali finished at the bottom of the group with no points. In Group B, Ivory Coast finished on top with 6 points from 3 matches, followed by South Africa with 5 points, Nigeria with 4 points, and Zambia with 1 point. The Sunny Side of Sports remembers American Harrison Dillard, the only male athlete to win Olympic titles in the 100 meters dash and the 110 meters hurdles. Dillard died November 15th in his birthplace of Cleveland, Ohio. He was 96 years old and had been the oldest living U.S. Olympic champion. Harrison Dillard won 2 gold medals at the 1948 London Olympics and 2 more gold medals at the 1952 Helsinki Olympics. Dillard was regarded as the world's best hurdler in the 1940s, but he failed to qualify for the hurdles at the 1948 United States Olympic Trials. In the 110-meter hurdles trials, Harrison's foot hit 4 of the first 7 hurdles, and his rhythm was destroyed. Dillard stopped running before the 8th hurdle. He later said, and I quote, "I was supposed to be a shoe-in, but I learned that day that nothing's ever a sure thing. It was the worst race I ever ran. It was the only time in my life that I didn't finish a race." In the final of the 100 meters dash at the 1948 London Olympics, Dillard was expected to finish no higher than 5th. Instead, he won the gold medal. Harrison Dillard's hurdling career began with some childhood ingenuity. He said he and his friends used to take old car seats, burn the fabric off them, and then jump over them in the street. 4-time Olympic champion Harrison Dillard of the USA, dead at the age of 96.
This is the voice of America. Washington, Bob, D.C.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, the 21-year-old Greek Stefanos Tsitsipas has won the biggest title of his young career, the season-ending ATP Finals in London. Craig Gabriel reports from the British capital.
They're probably dancing with excitement at the Acropolis because one of the most exciting players in world tennis has won one of the biggest titles in world tennis. Stefanos Tsitsipas can't believe what he's achieved. What a thrilling finish it was to the season as 21-year-old Stefanos begins his celebration. He's won the biggest title by far of his young career. He's taken 2 hours 35 minutes to get past Dominique Thiem, 6-7, 6-2, 7-6. When the Austrian's return floated out on championship point, Tsitsipas dropped to his knees in disbelief, and he hit the court so hard that blood was trickling from his right knee. But what did he care? He felt no pain. It was just sheer euphoria.
I'm really excited I was excited to be part of the NITO Finals experience. For me, it was already a big thing. Now that I'm a champion, I don't know how to explain it. I honestly don't feel anything because it's too many emotions to feel something. So it's horrific in a way to be holding this trophy. Once I remember myself watching this event on TV and thinking like, well, these guys have done an insane year to be playing here, and now I'm in a position where I'm the champion, so it feels awesome.
Both players put in a fantastic performance. They never relented, but it just seemed that Tsitsipas had a fraction more calmness. In the first set, Dominic was being put under a bit of pressure, but neither player lost serve. In the breaker, Thiem had the early advantage, but the breaker leveled, and Thiem snuck it out with a service winner, 8-6. Tsitsipas was out of the blocks in the second. He was up 4-love and 5-1 before serving it out. And in the third, the Greek went up 3-1 before the Austrian rallied to 3-all. Another breaker was inevitable, but this time Tsitsipas took greater control and won the last 3 points for the championship.
I'm still taking away a lot with me. I'm very proud and happy about the finals in general, and then there were also some other tough things in this week I had to deal with. I woke up on Tuesday morning feeling like crap because I was feeling really sick and everything. And then on Tuesday I played this legendary match against Novak and got way better again with my body. So that's a big thing I'm taking away, that even in very tough situations I can still play great tennis. And then, of course, it's an amazing result for me, taking away a lot.
Some small consolation for Thiem. He'll improve to 4 in the world for the year end. Tsitsipas will be 6, and he takes away over $2.6 million. This was the first time since 2009 at the season-ending championship that despite the big three, Novak Djokovic, Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer playing, none of them were in the final. This is the fourth straight year the tournament has had a first-time winner. The last time that happened was between 1988 and 1991, and the four were Boris Becker, Stefan Edberg, Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras. The doubles title was taken out by the French duo of Pierre-Hugues Herbert and Nicolas Mahut. It's the first time they've won the ATP Finals, and they defeated Ravin Klaassen and Michael Venus 6-3, 6-4. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, London.
Thanks, Craig. Craig mentioned Boris Becker in his report. The 6-time Grand Slam singles champion will celebrate his 52nd birthday on Friday, and Boris is still active in tennis. Boris Becker will captain the German team at the inaugural ATP Cup tournament, which will be played in Australia in January. And Boris spoke with Craig Gabriel in London. Here's Craig.
With Boris Becker for ATP Cup and Tennis Australia. Boris, tell me how excited you are about the ATP Cup and across the three cities that it's going to be played in Australia.
Very exciting news for me to be the captain of the German team. I was very honored when Sasha Zverev asked me a while ago to be the captain, and I have a history being the captain of the German team. I'm currently the head of the men's tennis, so I follow all team competitions for Germany, but obviously sitting on the bench and actually being hands-on is something I haven't done in a while.
Alexander Zverev is such a thrilling young player to watch. He's explosive. In one sense, maybe reminds you of yourself in your early days at the explosive tennis that you played. Jan-Lennard Struff, another wonderful young player. It's an exciting young team, isn't it?
We have a good team. I think we shouldn't be underestimated. I also want to mention the doubles, Kravitz and Mies, current French Open champions, semifinals of the US Open. And, so we have, three parts of three elements that can bother the opposition. Obviously, it's a team competition. One good player isn't enough. So I'm happy with Zverev, Struff, Kravitz and Mies.
Australia has also been a happy hunting ground for you in the past. Tell me about your fondest memories of playing in Australia.
I've had a few. Australia was always good to me. Really, my breakout year in Grand Slam tennis was at the 84 Australian Open, and I repeat, 1984 at Kooyong on grass.
Quarterfinal.
I beat the current, number five player in the world, Tim Mayotte. I was 16 years old. Going forward, becoming number one player in the world at the 91 Australian Open final against Ivan Lendl, and obviously winning my last major, 96, against Michael Chang, when everybody thought I was over the hill, including myself. So Australia always brings out the best in me. It's the best time of the year. In January, when everywhere it's dark and rainy and grey, you want to go to Australia, and so I'm excited to be part of the ATP Cup.
And Germany is going to be based out of Brisbane, and you'll be playing at the Pat Rafter Arena. What are your thoughts there? Did you ever play in Brisbane?
I have never played in Brisbane, but we had a history in Brisbane at the Patrick Rafter Arena. We actually beat Australia 2 years ago in the Davis Cup with Nick Kyrgios and Alex de Minaur, so there's a history in it, but obviously, it's a very explosive tennis facility. Very knowledgeable fans. Australia has a great history in tennis, and I think we have to beat the players and the fans because it'll be quite noisy.
You touched on the fact that Australia has got such a sporting heritage, and it's so good over there, but. What are you expecting out of the ATP Cup, which is a different concept that's going to be played there, and the timing of it leading into the Australian Open?
Well, it's a new format, so we really have to wait and see how it develops. I think on paper it looks great. I like the two singles, one doubles format. It's we know quickly after day whether we're in or we're out. The fact that we have three teams, so we have chance. If we have a bad day, we can play better the next day. And I think the location is key, and the timings is key. At the beginning of the year, everybody wants to play. After a long winter break, you want to play against the very best. Last time I checked, 9 of the top 10 players are participating, so you can expect high quality tennis, and that's the easiest way to get into the new year. Obviously, the end of the month is just around open, so everybody's looking for as many matches as possible of the highest quality.
And Boris, finally, as we speak, you've recently had surgery on your left leg, you're on crutches, but you tell me you're going to be fully fit in time for the ATP Cup in Australia.
Yeah, you know, there's never a good time to have knee surgery. I didn't want to do it during the French Open, Wimbledon, or the US Open. I didn't want to be on crutches, but I'm on the mend. I'm 2 more weeks like this, so once I'll be touching down in Australia, I'll be 100%.
All right, one other thing. If you had to pick another nation that is a major danger situation for Germany, who would you go for?
Obviously we start against Australia, but look at Canada with Shapovalov, with Auger Aliassime. Then look at Russia.
Yeah,
it's a very strong team. Spain. You know, Nadal, it just has to show
pick
up.
Pick anybody, in other words.
Serbia with Djokovic. I mean, there isn't any weak teams. But again, it's a team competition. One good player is not going to win you. You have to have a good doubles and a good second player because you need 2 points.
Boris Becker, thank you very much.
And thank you very much, Craig Gabriel, for that interview with Boris Becker, the former world number one tennis player from Germany. Craig and Boris spoke with each other in London. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
In African women's basketball, Nigeria and host Mozambique have advanced to next year's Women's Olympic Qualifying Tournament, as we hear now from Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson!
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. African basketball ladies champions Nigeria and host Mozambique on Sunday night booked the 2 available quarter tickets for the African region to next year's 16-nation Women's Olympic Qualifying Tournament. The Tigress of Nigeria dismissed Mali 74-59 in yet another showing of dominance to improve their unbeaten record to 16-0 in the past 4 years in Africa, while host Mozambique shocked Senegal 56-49 in a very closely contested game that saw the home crowd cheer every basket, steal and rebound to give their players the resounding energy they needed to emerge victorious.
Thanks, Samson. That's our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Samson Omale. In National Basketball Association action Sunday, the Sacramento Kings edged the visiting Boston Celtics 100-99 to snap Boston's 10-game winning streak. Marcus Smart had a chance to win it for the Celtics, but his shot bounced around the rim before trickling off as the final buzzer sounded. Buddy Hield scored a season-high 35 points for the Kings. Meanwhile, the Philadelphia 76ers scored a big road victory against the Cleveland Cavaliers. The AP's Matt Lodi reports from Cleveland, Ohio.
The Philadelphia 76ers improved to 8-5 on the young season as they rout the Cleveland Cavaliers 114-95 at Quicken Loans Arena. Tobias Harris put in 27 points to lead all scores. Philadelphia took a lead midway through the first quarter and never looked back. Harris on getting off to a quick start.
We had a lot of higher percentage shots, which is around the rim. A lot of paint catches, a lot of fast breaks that were generated through our defense. So anytime you're getting, high percentage shots and playing good defense, it's a good combination.
Cleveland was led by second-year guard Colin Sexton with 17 points. Jordan Clarkson put in 15. The Cavaliers fall to 4-8. Matt Lodi, Cleveland.
Thanks, Matt. In Southern California, LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers clipped the wings of the Atlanta Hawks 122-101. LeBron had another big game, 33 points, 7 rebounds, and 12 assists as the Lakers improved to 11 wins and 2 losses. The Hawks now have a record of 4 victories and 9 defeats. In a few other NBA results, the New Orleans Pelicans beat the visiting Golden State Warriors 108-100. The Denver Nuggets beat the host Memphis Grizzlies 131-114. And my beloved Washington Wizards lost in Florida to the host Orlando Magic 125-121. And that wraps up the November 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the fall of the Berlin Wall 30 years ago marked the end of the Cold War and brought about a number of significant changes in Africa. We'll take a closer look on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
Neptune is so far from the gravitational pull of the Sun that it provides the dominant source of gravity for its planetary community, which includes 14 moons. New research from NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory uncovered some unique choreography between two of Neptune's tiny inner moons, Naiad and Thalassa. Although their orbits are only 1,850 kilometers apart, the moons never get close enough to collide thanks to what JPL experts call a dance of avoidance. Naiad, closest to Neptune, has a tilted orbit and zigzags up and down in its orbital plane as it circles the planet. In a repeating pattern known as resonance, Naiad passes above Thalassa's orbital plane for two encounters and then passes from below on the next two meetings. This up and down motion provides about 1,000 kilometers in additional spacing distance between the two moons as they pass each other. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
News happens around the clock, and VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour. Tune in for a summary of the news At the top of each hour, around the clock on the Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage. VOA.